Okay, we're on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. It's Yivamo, page 112a. I'm going to begin to go back to the Mishnah from yesterday on Kuf Yud Aleph Beis 111b, the Mishnah, around 20 lines on the bottom. Let me just go over the Mishnah so everybody's on the same page. So Manitin, Yivam Katan, Shabal Yivam Katana. Yivam Katan, he's over 9 years of age, and he has relations with the Yivam Katan, who's over 3 years of age. Yiglu Zaimzeh. They should grow up together. In other words, if he wants to divorce her, he can't divorce her till he gets older. So they have to do it like that. Bal Yivama Gedola, if the Katan had relations with Yivama Gedola, Tigalenu. So again, she's got to, you know, let him get older. And then when he gets older, he'll be able to to divorce her or do Yivam. Or continue on with the relationship. Hayivama sha'amra b'toch shloshim yom lo nivalti. And here's the part we need for tonight. If Yivama says within 30 days of the marriage, I never had relations with a man, kofin otoshiach lo tzla. So we believe her, and then we force the man to do chalitza, because we'll see the Gemara is going to explain more. And then we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to explain that she had also received a get. In other words, the Gemara is going to ask, why don't we force him to Yibam or Chalitza? But he gave her a get. So the simple shot is he gave her a get. So if he had done Bia with her, he would have been his wife, but then the get would be effective. But without being his wife, without the Yibam, it's not his wife. So we forced him to do Chalitza. Achar Shloshim Yom, after 30 days, the presumption is that he had relations with her, despite her protestation to the contrary. So we request that he do chalitza, because she, having said that he didn't have relations with her, it's like she in effect is declaring herself prohibited, because she's saying Yibum was never done and chalitza was never done. So she's caught between a rock and a hard place. It was Vanshu Moda, but if the Yavam agrees with her that he never had relations with her, then even after 12 months later, in other words, they could be married in quotation marks for 6 months, but if they're both on the same page that he never had relations with her, then even after 12 months, we would force him to do chalitza. Yeah, we're on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, around 12 lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. Hanoderet Hanami Yavama, if during, in other words, a woman is married to her husband and she makes an edder, she's not going to get any hana from her brother-in-law. Maybe they had a fight, whatever. He says, and then the husband dies, kofen oto shiach lo tzla. We would force the Yavam to do her chalitza because she's in an impossible situation and she can't, you know, get hana from him. This is lachar mitat bala, but if she made the neder after the death of her husband, then we suspect that she was trying to like sabotage the yibum process. Some of Akshini Menashiatlosa, we ask him to do chalitza. Bin the kavna laka, but if her intent is clear, maybe from other statements she made, that she was trying to like sabotage the yibum process, then even during the husband's life, we would just only request that he do chalitza, and not obligate him to do chalitza. Okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did in the Mishnah? Yeah, Rafi's got a question. Yeah. Which case are you talking about? Okay. Rafi asked, why don't we wait 90 days? Let's just hold off with that a little bit, okay? Now, all right, now, five lines from the bottom of the Gemara. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 111b, page 222, six lines from the bottom. Okay, Yivama Shem Rabatosh Shoshim Mechulei. So in the Mishnah we said, if Yivama said within 30 days of the marriage, in quotation marks, that I never had relations with this man, so then we're going to force him to do chalitza. So the Gemara says, Mantana da atlatin yomin muki minishanafshe. Who's the Tana that holds that it's conceivable that for 30 days a man would not have relations with his bride? So Am Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Meirhi. So Rabbi Yochanan says that would be in conformity with the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Tanat Betulim Korshal Shinom Divra Meir. Meir says that a husband can make a taina, like I married this woman with the understanding that she's a betula, and the ksuba says betula on, you know, on a virgin, and the ksuba says has the recitation as well, and she wasn't a betula. So he can make that taina within 30 days. In other words, within 30 days, he can say, I just had relations with her and she wasn't a betula. Well, one second. But after 30 days, we would not believe his taina, because we would think that he probably just had got angry at her and it's like he had relations with her already. And it's just, so within 30 days, we could believe that he just had relations with her and found out that she was not a betula. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nistara La'alter. Rabbi Yossi says, if they're alone by themselves, then he's got to make the taina right away. Lo Nistara, but if they were never secluded one with another, Aflachar Kamashanim, he can even make the taina years later. So we think that our Mishnah is in conformity with Rameyer. Rameyer says you have a husband and wife, so within 30 days he can make the taina she's not a betula, because it's conceivable that he just had relations with her 10 or 14 or 21 days after the marriage. So the Gemara says, Rabba Amar, two lines from the bottom, Rabba Amar, Afilutim Rabbi Yossi. Rabba says, you can even say our Mishnah is in conformity with the Tana Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, once they're alone together, that's it. You make the taina that she's not a betula immediately, or your rights go away. He says, Afilutim Rabbi Yossi. We could say that our Mishnah is even in conformity with Rabbi Yossi, even though the Mishnah says that the Yavama comes within 30 days and says, Lo Nabalti. He says, Ad kan lo kor Rabbi Yossi atam, el barusto de gispa. So Rabbi Yossi says only there, he's talking about where a man is marrying his arusa. In other words, the woman that he, you know, did arusin with, and now he's doing the suin with her. So according to Rabbi Yossi, if they're alone, then there's a presumption that they had relations with each other. Aval eish rachiv, but his brother's wife, which is what Yibam's situation is all about, nivzaz bazis. There we could say, like, he's a little boast from her. He's a little embarrassed. Maybe he didn't have relations with her right away. In other words, you know, it was his sister-in-law. And, you know, it was his brother's widow. So maybe he held back a little bit. So it could be that even the Tana Rabbi Yossi, who normally says is a presumption that the man has relations with his wife right away, here, maybe he would concede it's a little different because it's the sister-in-law. Okay, who's the questions, comments, to us, anything we did so far?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
For example, the girl is the Tana, and the reason that he's not having relations is because he's waiting until she gets older. Is that something that
Yavam is remember, typically for the Yibam and the Chalitza, they will wait for the Gdolo. Typically, we wait for their Gdolo to do those things. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Gemara says that so that would be the typical situation. So but even assuming, let's assume that his brother was married to a katana. And so why would that change the situation? Why? I don't see that would change the situation. Yeah, so the brother could have been married to a katana, like the father could have married her off, and I don't think that would change anything. This. Okay, let's get back in the Gemara. Okay, now the top line on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, 112a, the top line. So the Mishnah said, again, that if she says within 30 days, lo nivalti, I don't have relations with this man, so then we would force him to do chalitza. We would force the man to do chalitza. So he said, in other words, either, you know, go one way or the other way, but you can't keep this lady hanging in the air. So the Gemara says, achikopno tolach lo, nichpen liyabim. So why is it we're forcing him to do chalitza? Why don't we force him to do yibum? Like, you know, so go forward, do one or the other. Why is it that we're forcing him to do chalitza? So Amarav, so Rav says the Mishnah is talking about an unusual case or that he already gave her a get. So the simple pshat would be that, in other words, if he did Yibum with her, he had relations with her, now they're fully fledged husband and wife. Now to terminate the marriage, he could give her a get. So she's got the get, but she says he never had relations with me, which means it gets nice, but only if we're married. He didn't have relations with me. We're not married. So I need chalitza. That's the case in the Mishnah. Okay? So then the Gemara says, Meife. On this, we have Kasha against Rav from the following Brisa. And we don't understand this Brisa fully. We must be patient. Meife. Yavama Shamra Batosh Toshim Yom. The Yavama said within 30 days of her marriage, lo nivalti, I didn't have relations with him, bein shehu omer ba'alti, whether the husband says, no, I did have relations with her, bein shehu omer lo ba'alti, or whether he says, no, I didn't have relations, so they're both on the same page, kofen oto shiach lo tzla, we force him to do chalitza. In other words, she says, I didn't have relations with him, we force him to do chalitza. L'achar shloshim yom, after 30 days, then there's a presumption that they did have relations. He says, mabakshin imen hashiach lo tzla. But she says, we didn't have relations, so we ask him, could you please give her chalitza? He omer et nivalti, she says, I had relations. This is the other way around. Hu omer lo ba'alti, he says, no, I never had relations with her. Hareza yotzi beget. He should give her a get, because she says, I had relations. Hu omer ba'alti, hu omer lo ba'alti, he says, I had relations, and she said, no, we didn't. Alfabi shechazar b'amar lo ba'alti, even though he changes his tune, and he says, they're both saying lo ba'alti, tzricha get b'chalitza. So she needs a get and chalitza. A get in case she had relations, and chalitza if she didn't have relations. Now, the point being, though, since the last case in the Mishnah says that she needs a get, the implication is the earlier cases, there was no get. Again, Rav said that the case in the Mishnah where a woman comes within 30 days and says, I didn't have relations with this man, and so we force him to do chalitza. So we said, why do we force him to do chalitza? We should force him to have his choice. Do we give him more chalitza? So we said, according to Rav, the Mishnah is talking about that he gave her a get. He gave her a get, so then, but she says, I didn't have relations with him, so the get's not worth the paper it's written on. So we force him to do chalitza. That's the way Rav understood the Mishnah. But here in the Braisa, we have the identical case, but then at the end of the Braisa, it says we force them to give a get or a chalitza, which seems to be that the earlier case in the Braisa, that there was no get. That's the question. Everybody got it? In other words, in the earlier case in the Braisa, where she says in 30 days, lo nivalti, so we force him to do chalitza, how can we say it's talking about where he gave her a get already? Because the end of the Braisa talks about giving her a get and chalitza. So the implication is, in the earlier cases, that he didn't give her a get. So Amar Rabbi Ami, Tzrich Chalitza in Gita. Rabbi Ami says, no, that's what the Braisa means, that he gave her a get already, and in addition to which, she needs Chalitza. So then that resolves the stira. Okay, that's the first answer in the Gemara. Now, Rav Ashi has a different answer. Let's all pay attention, and it will be good. Rav Ashi Amar, Hatam Get Lezikato. Rav Ashi says, when Rav said on line 2, the Shigita Yotze Mitachat Yada, that she was the Yavama, and she's coming to us and say, I didn't have relations with my Yavam, and Rav says she has a get, it's not the way I explained it up till now, a get for a married woman, it's a get for a chalitza. If you remember, we discussed this before, that when people are in a Yivam situation, the Yavam could give a get to the woman, which commits him to do chalitza. In other words, it means nobody can do Yivam anymore. He gives her a get, and was the get saying, we're terminating the Zika, but that only works on a Drabanan level. So that's the case that Rav was speaking about. That's also the case that the beginning of the Brice is speaking about. So, ahatam get the Zikato, ahacha get the Biato. In the Sefer of the Brice, where he says, Shricha get b'chalitza, she needs a get, a full-fledged get, like for a married woman and chalitza. Meaning, in that case, we're giving it, where it's credible that she had relations. In other words, it was after 30 days, and he said, I had relations, and she said, not. And then even though later on he says, oh, no, I didn't have relations, there we think it's credible that he had relations with her, but she says, I didn't have relations, so we need to give her a get in case they had relations. But if they didn't have relations, and she says they didn't have relations, we're going to give her chalitza. Okay, let me just do another 6 lines, then I'll pause, and we'll summarize, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? The Gemara says, "Hanau shneihem modim da'atul kamid deraba." There were two people, a Yavam and a Yavama, who had the same situation that we spoke about. Originally, he said, "I had relations with her," and she said, "No, he didn't." And then they both are on the same page; they didn't have relations, and they come for Rava. So Amarlu Rava chalusula b'sharulahu la tigra. So Rava says, "Listen. You know, give her chalitza and end this whole matter." So Amalei Rav Shrevi L'Rav about Tani Tzricha Get B'Chalitza. But in the Braisa we learn that she needs a get and chalitza. In other words, if he says that I had relations with her initially, and it's after 30 days, which is what the case is, then that's more believable, that's believable, even though he changes the story. So the Tanna Braisa says she requires a get and chalitza. Here, Rava was just saying, do chalitza. Amalei, itani, itani. That's what the Braisa says, so that's what the Braisa says, and that's what we have to go with. Okay, three more lines, then we'll pause, then we'll review, and then we'll take some questions. Hon, that's his name, the son of Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, Sarata Mahu, what about the co-wife in that situation? In other words, here we have the co-wife he takes her in, he apparently does, we think he does evil, and takes and marries her, and then after a period of time, she says, Lo Nevalti. So what's the status of the tzara? In other words, if he does yibum, the tzara is free. If he does chalitza, the tzara, the co-wife, is freed up. So here he married her, and the co-wife is thinking, good, I'm done with this. And then after a period of time, he says, Lo Nevalti. Says Amar Lei, B'chim Neishan Kofin Mbakshin Te'aser Tzara, because we force him to do chalitza, should we ask for the tzara? So if you look at Rashi, let's see the Rashi, Neisha Anu Kofin Mbakshin Litzorka, we're trying to be solicitous of the woman's needs. She has declared herself prohibited. She says, I never had relations with this man. So that's in halacha, that's a certain status. In other words, he says, I did have relations with her. And after 30 days, he would normally be believed. So that's the way we go. But she says, I never had relations with him. So vis-a-vis her, it's shavita nafsha chaticha disura. She's saying, I'm like treif. I'm like a piece of isur. So in other words, so because of that, we try to help her and say we're going to force him or encourage him to do chalitza, encourage him to do chalitza. Because we're doing that, are we going to ask for the tzara? So he says, in the back, b'chim v'neishan ha-kofen v'akshin te'aser tzara. So back in the Rashi, Nesra tzarata, bad elu mitzra, the chazak ha-konis isha bo'la alter. In other words, the presumption is that you normally have relations right away with your kala. Okay, let's just think this through for a minute. And then we'll go on. Okay? So just summarize, and then we'll come back to your question, hopefully now, Rafi. Okay. So again, we had this Yavama that says, within 30 days, lo nivalti. I didn't have relations with my Yava. So within 30 days, we would believe the Yavama that she didn't have relations. And the Tana Mishnah says, kofin otoshiakotzla. We force the Yavam to give chalitza. So the simple pshat in the Mishnah, which the Gemara touches up, is that he had gave her a get. He gave her a full-fledged get. In other words, if he has relations with her, they're husband and wife. So the Yibum falls by the wayside. Now to terminate that relationship, he needs a get. And then he gave her a get. She walks into Beis Din and she's waving a get in her hand. But she says, he never had relations with me. If he never had relations with me, we're not husband and wife. I need a chalitza. So the Tana Mishnah says we force her to do chalitza. That's the first pshat we learned in the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah also said if it's after 30 days, we don't force him to do chalitza. She says, I never had relations with him. And again, she's walking with the get, but we would ask him to encourage him to do chalitza with her. Okay, that's the first pshat in the Mishnah. Then we learned a different pshat in the Gemara that said when the woman walked in, Rav is the one that says she walks in with the get. When she walks in with the get, it's not a get to divorce a husband and wife. It's a get in the Yivam situation. We said a Yavam can give a get to the Yavama. If a Yavam gives a get to the Yavama, there could be a number of brothers, but it means nobody's going to do Yivam. We're going to go forward and do Chalitza. That's what it's a get to cut away the Zika. So that's the get that she walks into the Beis Din with, that type of get. So that being the case, so he's committed himself to do Chalitza. So we force him to do chalitza. That's why we're forcing him to do chalitza. All right. Now, you would ask me, why don't we wait to the 90 days? So I'm not sure we might, well, in other words, where the each say a different story. You mean like that? Yeah. So the Gemara takes it. Yeah. So I don't know. Well, that wouldn't completely solve the problem because even if she's not pregnant, it doesn't mean they didn't have relations. But in terms of the 90 days, it could be that she would wait 90 days anyway, because if you assume that she got the get, then we would say wait 90 days. If it's the get for the Yibum and the Chalitza, so I don't know about the 90 days or not. Yeah. You at least take one variable out of the off the table. Yes, I'm not sure. It could be that we would wait 90 days, but I'm not sure. Go ahead. That's what we're talking about. Right. Right. Wait, are you talking about the case in the Gemara with Yibam? Are you talking about the case in the Gemara with Yibam? Not Yibam. You mean a different case. Just a husband and wife, and he doesn't have relations with her. And then, in that case, you would need a regular get. We're talking about a different situation here with the Yibam. In other words, Yibam, well, again, with the Yibam, there's this connection between the Yavama and the Yavam at the death of the death of the brother. So at that point, he's got to do Yibam or Chalitza. Those are the only two choices. Chalitza is the shoe ceremony. Yibam is having relations with her. He must do one of those two routes. So it could be that they would do the chuppah. We discussed this in the Gemara. But the ikar is they have to have that relations. That have to be, that's the main thing, okay?
All right. Yeah. So if the purpose is that the brother passed away, you try to basically give him another chance by them being together. Nowadays, medically, without relations, you're able to impregnate her with his. Imagine he's impotent.
No, halakhically, you have to have relations, but we don't do Yibam today anyway. Okay, I have to move on. Okay, any questions from the cyber world? Okay, I'm moving on. Okay, let's all focus. By the way, Arthur, you're coming in double. I see two screens of you, Arthur. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So we're on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Everybody here? Okay. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the two dots midway down the column. Now, Hanoderet Hanavachuli, we said in the Mishnah, if a woman made a neder when she was married to her husband, you know, I can't stand your brother. She makes a neder. I'm not getting any hana'ah from him. I'm not getting any benefit from him. And then, lo and behold, the husband dies, and now this is this is her shidduch with the yibum. So the Tana Mishnah said, kofin otoshiach lotzla. We would force him to do chalita because yibum is going to be an impossible situation for her. She'd have to violate her neder in order to be that way. But let's one second. He says, but if she made the neder after the death of her husband, then it looks like she's trying to sabotage the Yibam process. So then we wouldn't force him to do chalitza, but we'd ask him to do chalitza. Okay. So hanoderet hanavachulei tanana tam. We learn in the Mishnah over Masechet Nedarim, where Rishonu you omrim shlosh nashim yotzot not lo ketuba. Originally, they said that three women like can make statements, and we would force the husband to divorce them, and they would walk off with the ketuba. He says, "Homeret tmei ani lecha." A woman who's married to a kohen, and she says, "I was raped," so she's prohibited on him. So we would force him to divorce her, and then she would walk off with the ketuba. Hashemayim bini lebeincha. She says, "Like heaven is only between me and you. Like you've never had relations with me." You know, and so we would force him to divorce her, and she would take the ketuba. Or Yitulanim and HaYehudim. Here, she makes a neder that she doesn't want to get any benefit from any Jewish man. In other words, she's not going to have any relations with any Jewish man. She really wants to say, "I'm not going to get any relations with you." In other words, maybe the sex hurts her, things like that. But she's afraid if she just says, "I'm not going to get any," you know, have intimate relations with you, he would think, oh, she wants to go off and run off with another man. So she's to avoid that situation, she's in Tulani Min Ayudim. So originally he said if a woman, on the first two statements, the last is a neder, if a woman make any of those three statements, we'd force the man to divorce her and she would take the ksuba. Chazru Lamar, Shote Ishan Otene Neba Acher, Mekakelet Al Bala. Subsequently they said that you know, where there's a concern that maybe she really is making these things up, but she just wants to terminate the marriage and have a relationship with another guy. And then in terms of the neder, she'll go someplace where nobody knows her, and then so much for the neder, and then she'll live with her Prince Charming. So they revised the din. And according to some of Farshim, means like the standards went down. When people were firmer, that was the original halacha. Now, when people weren't so firm, they changed the rule. Ella, well, just a minute. Homeret tmeani lecha, if the wife of the Kohen says, I'm tmeya to you, to be raya ledvareh, we force her to bring corroborating evidence. Hashemayim bini lebeincha, he says, like, you've never had relations with me. He says, yasu derech bakasha. We would ask him, you know, get going with it, Sam, or whatever. Netula nimen ha-yehudim, if she makes a neder that I'm not going to have relations with any man, yafer chalko mishamashto. So he, the husband, should revoke so much of the neder as relates between her and her. In other words, a husband has a right to be made for a nedarim, but only nedarim that relates to the relationship between both of them. So he should revoke so much of the neder that relates to both of them, and then they could have relations. Now, utein netulim and yehudim. But with everybody else, she'll be prohibited to having relations with them. Now, okay, any questions so far?
Yeah, why are you coming? I mean, she made a neder, but there is such a thing on the petach. She made a neder not knowing that her husband's going to pass away and the brother...
No. Your permission cases. Okay, the case we spoke about in the second Adarim, there's no Yibam here. There's nothing. Okay, so the original halacha in the Mishnah was... She made the neder with the from the brother-in-law. So you want to say that maybe there's a way to do hataras darim. Maybe there's a way. Maybe there isn't a way. Well, petach has got to be more than a word. You have to have, you know, a certain. But okay, but let's see what the halacha is this way now. Okay, what's up? All right, that's an anticipation of a yibum situation, right? Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Okay, let me just finish the end of the parak, then we'll take questions, okay? Now, Ibailahu, so the question was asked in the base medrash, now we can connect it up. The Tulani Mina Yehudim, Liyava Mahu. What if she made a neder that I'm the Tulani Mina Yehudim, I'm not going to have relations with any man, even if the husband revokes his portion, but then the husband dies, does that neder apply to the Yavam? Now, when she said the Tulani Mina Yehudim, the reason she made the neder is she wanted to terminate the marriage, but she didn't want the husband to think that she would have relations with another eligible man. So the Yavam, in the normal course of life, is normally prohibited to her. It's because if it's not a deep situation, so did she intend that the Yavam should be included in such a neder, or she meant everybody who's eligible? So he says, Mim maska daita demait bala v'nafla kam Yavam. Does it enter her mind that the husband's going to die and that she's going to face the situation where she's going to be paired up with the Yavam, in which case it has no relationship with the Yavam at all, he says, lo, or perhaps maybe she does have that in mind. So Rav Amar Yavam Enu Kibal. Rav says the Yavam's in a whole different situation, and indeed, the Neder does not apply to the Yavam. The Neder does not apply to the Yavam. Shmuel Amar Yavam Enu Kibal. Shmuel says, no, the Neder does apply to the Yavam. Now, the Gemara's Amar Abaye, Kivati de Rav Nistabra. So Abaye says, Rav's position that the neder does not apply to the Baal makes more sense. It's done, because we learned in our Mishnah here in the Masechet Yevamo that we just did at the beginning of today's daf, Hanoderet Hanami Yevama B'chai Baala. If a woman makes a neder, there's a different case, but the one we spoke about in the Mishnah. If a woman makes a neder not to get benefit from her Yevama during the lifetime of her husband, and then the husband dies, we force the Yavam to give her chalitza. He says, meaning that we don't think that she, having made that neder, we don't think it was anticipating the whole turn of events, that the husband would die and everything else. We don't think that that's what was going through her mind. But if it would be that she is anticipating that the husband is going to die and that she's sabotaging the whole thing. So turn page, mevakshimi bailei. Then we should say that not we're going to force the Yavam to do chalitza. We ask him to do chalitza. In other words, because the Gemara, the Mishnah said already that if she made such a neder after the death of the husband, so then that's her own, she's going to sit in her own stew. and then we're just going to ask him to do chalitza, not going to force him to do chalitza. Or if we have evidence, like she tells everybody, you know, I made this neder because I didn't want to have anything to do with Joe or whatever. So then we would also be in bakkei. So here, though, Tana Mishnah says, stam, if a woman makes a neder, I'm not going to get benefit from my brother-in-law and the husband's alive. So then we say we're going to force him to do chalitza. And if it would be like Shmuel, that she is having that in mind, so it's same about Shimi Bailai. So the Gemara says, so therefore, this is Abaye. Therefore, Abaye says, from a careful reading of our Mishnah, it sounds like Rav is correct, that the typical woman does not think about the brother-in-law when she's making a neder like this. And the same thing with the Tula Nimin Ayuda. So Gemara says, no, I can reconcile our Mishnah even with the opinion of Shmuel, which is a woman normally does think about those things. Shmuel will say that the case in the Mishnah is not only is she married, but she has children, presumably with the husband. So he says, the kulihai lomaska daita. In other words, to think that my children are going to die and my husband's going to die, that is too remote even for Shmuel. In other words, Shmuel says a woman thinks about, you know, the Yavam, but whether she's got children and the husband, ad kadei kachna. So the Mishnah is reconcilable even with Shmuel. Even Shmuel says, I would think about the Yavam, but, you know, there's a limit where I have kids and my husband's alive. I'm not going to think, well, the kids are going to die, my husband's going to die. That's too remote. Aval ein laban imai, but let's say she would not have children. So what would be the halacha, and then she made the neder during the husband's lifetime? Then mevakshin. Then we think, according to Shmuel, then in that case, the halacha would be that we would just ask the Yavam to do chalitza. So adatani kam lakach. So the Mishnah gives a case where we're mevakshin. The case of the Mishnah is where we know she had in mind. We have evidence that she had in mind to with this Yavam. She told everybody, I'm making this neder because I don't want to have to deal with the Yavam. So adatani kam lakach. Hafila b'chayi bala. Instead of giving that case where we have all this evidence, it's cleaner to just be mechalek in the existing case and say, so we could say like this, if she made the neder and the husband was alive and she had sons, and this is the way Shmuel will understand the Mishnah, so then we would force, then the husband died, the children die, the husband dies, we would force the Yavam to give her chalitza. But if she made the neder when she had no children, but the husband was alive, mevakshin, then we would just ask him, why does the Mishnah teach me that case if Shmuel is correct? El shmamina lo shana yesh labanim lo shana ein labanim kofin oto to Rav. So rather, it's more logical to assume that the Tana Mishnah holds that when she makes the neder during the lifetime of her husband, whether she's got kids or doesn't have kids, we would force, and then the husband dies, we'd force the Yavam to give her chalitza, because we don't think that she has in mind anything with the Yavam. So shmamina. So that's so we can deduce indeed the halacha follows Rav. So again, let's just summarize what we did. So if a woman, the question is, does a woman typically have in mind, you know, her yavam when she in the Mishnah's cases she makes a neder? I don't have anything to do with like your brother Sam. I can't stand him. So if she makes a neder that she's not going to get any hana from Sam. I don't want to know from him. I don't want to see him. You know, I don't know Sam. So then, and then lo and behold, you know, her husband gets into a car accident the next day. And then Sam, who she's love crazy about, is the Yavam. So the Talmud Mishnah says, the Talmud Mishnah says that we force Sam to do chalitza in a situation like that. That's what the Talmud Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, if the halacha would be like Shmuel, that says that a woman, you know, thinks about like the Yavam when she makes the net, or the case with Shmuel was a little different. She said, Natula Niman Ayudim, not going to have relations with any other man. Did she have in mind the Yavam? But if the luck is like Shmuel, so it shouldn't be that we would force him. We should say that we'll ask him, because if she has him in mind, then we don't force him because she's trying to sabotage the Yavam process. So since the Tana Mishnah doesn't say that, it's a right that the luck is like Rav, that a woman doesn't have him in mind. Okay, who's the questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, Daniel, then Robert, then Rios. What's up?
In almost any case, you are able to find a petach one way or another.
All right,
we're not entertaining that as an option.
All right, so I don't know. So if she goes to the Bezdin and then she's able to have the netter lifted, then that would be a different situation. She would have to ask that the netter be revoked, though. She's got to ask to have it. Okay, what's up, Robert? What do you got? That's the more it's being in the mission. Means that there are some situations where the circumstances are so egregious, we say, you're doing chalitza. We're forcing to do chalitza. Then she's up a creek. But they could, but they're not going to. In other words, because we feel that she acted incorrectly. She acted egregiously by making, in other words, the case of the Mishnah is really like if she made the nether after the death of her husband. In other words, she was married to Reuven. Her husband dies. She sees Sam as the Yavam. She doesn't want to be married to Sam. And you know what I'm going to do? She says, I'm going to make a netter. I'm going to get enough from Sam. That'll be the end of it. So if she tries to get around the whole Yibam, then we would ask him to do Chalitza. We wouldn't force him to do Chalitza. Okay, what's up? Yeah. Yeah, what's up? We ask him to do it. Yeah. What? We did this already. Remember, we said that if at the time of the death of the husband, the children are not alive, then you're in the same situation. Okay, I have to keep moving. Any other questions? Okay, that's what we discussed. I don't think there was any question about it. Okay. Wait, really question. Ruth, go ahead. You have 60 seconds. Go.
Besides Sam, what if there's another brother? So isn't she required?
So if there's another brother who would do chalitza for her, that's wonderful. You know, I don't know what, but Sam, we're not going to force Sam to do chalitza for her. Okay. Okay, please, I need to go on. I am so sorry. We're running out of time. Okay, now, Hadrulach Beit Shammai. Okay, now the next Mishnah is the big Mishnah. We had large sections of it on Shabbos. Let's take it down. Chayresh and Asapi Tachat. Now, when you have a marriage and one of the partners is a Chayresh or a Chayreshet, a deaf mute, the marriage is the Rabbanan, a rabbinic marriage. Okay? So, Chayresh and Asapi Kachat, if a man who's a Chayresh marries a woman who is full faculty, or a full faculty man marries a Chayreshet, so either way, if they want a divorce, they can. In other words, the Chayresh will do it with sign language. You'll do the divorce. He says, Vimratzala Kayemi Kayim. And if the man wants to be married, he'll be married. Shem Shu Kone Spermiza, the method explains, just like the Chayresh can marry with sign language, it means Kachumotzi Bermiza. So too, he could divorce Bermiza. So if he's the Chayresh and she's the Pikachat, he can marry her. And, you know, he marry her, you know, he doesn't say Ariat Mekudeshet, he'll make sign language. And he could divorce her with the Remiza also, and he'll give her a get. Or conversely, if she's the Chayreshet, we'll do it the same way. First medium wide line. Pikach shasa pikachat. Let's say you have a man who is pikach. He has his full faculties. He marries a woman with full faculties. Vinit charsha. And then, during the course of the marriage, he became a deaf mute. So they're married on a deraisa level. The fact that she goes to Chayreshet doesn't convert anything to Rabbanan. They're married on a deraisa level. Imratza yotzi, imratza yikayim. So still no problem here. If he wants, he's pikach. If he wants, the woman is passive with the divorce. So if he, the husband, wants to divorce her, he'll divorce her. And if he wants to keep her, he can keep her as a wife. Nishtateit, if she becomes insane, lo yotzi. That's a din derabbanan. I mean, on a derisa level, he could divorce her. But the chamim were concerned for her welfare that she'll come minag hefter, that men will fool around with her, do other things. So therefore, nishtateit lo yotzi. If she becomes insane, he should not divorce her. Nitchareish hu o nishtate, if he became a deaf mute or he became insane, eino motzia olamit. He cannot, in other words, they were married on a deraisa level. He was a pikeach when he married her, and she was a pikachat. And then he became a chereish, or he became insane, eino motzia olamit. He can never divorce her, because the divorce, if they're married on a deraisa level, he needs his full faculties to divorce her. He doesn't have his full faculties, he can't divorce her. And that's obviously a problem. Sometimes you have a husband, who loses his, mental status. Maybe the wife wants out of the marriage, but then it's too late to do again at that point in time. In other words, he may have had, Alzheimer's or a series of strokes or things like that, and then you're in a very difficult situation. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. The third wide line. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, the Nema Ha'isha Shenecharsha Yotza, why is it that the woman, when she becomes a deaf mute, she could be divorced? By Isha Nechari Shena Motzi, the man who becomes a deaf mute, in other words, if she's the partner and she's deaf mute, so we can go ahead with divorce. If he's the deaf mute, he can't divorce her. Amrulo, they said to him, Eno Demeha Isha Megari Shishamik Kareshet. You can't compare the man to the woman. Sha'isha Yotzala Ritzona, Bishalola Ritzona. A woman is divorced with her Ratzon or not with her Ratzon. Although today, you know, one of Tehran Rabbeinu Gershom is you only divorce the woman with her Ratzon. In other words, today we require the woman's Ratzon to divorce. But on Din D'oraisa, we don't require her Ratzon. Ba'isha Namotzi Ela Ritzono. But a man only divorces with his Ratzon, with his full, you know, knowledge and intent and everything else. Somebody, let me just go back. Somebody needs to be muted. And so, one second. And again, when I said about the man suffering strokes, if he's got his mental capacity, then he could go forward with divorce. But if his mental, you know, has been okay. Now, Hayid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gugada, he gave testimony. I mean, that's the halacha. He says, "Alachei reshet sheisia aviyach." In other words, there was a deaf mute girl whose father married her off. In other words, when she was a katana, the father married her off. If the father marries her off, she's married on a Torah level. Shehi yotza beget. So he said that the halacha was that she could be divorced with a get, even though she's a kareshet. That proves the point we said before. Amru lo, so they said to him, avzuki yotzeba. Similarly, if a woman is a kareshet, and then let's say even if she was pikachat when she got married, she could also be divorced. Okay. So that's the Hakdam in the Mishnah. Now moving to other cases, and we'll pause in a few minutes. Okay. Shnei Achim Chershim. Now there's a whole series of cases now. The main thing to remember, when one partner is a Cheresh or a Chereshet, the marriage is Durabanan. That's the main thing. So if he's a Cheresh and she's the Pikachat, or she's a Chereshet, he's a Pikeach, the marriage is a Durabanan. If it's a Cheresh and a Cheresh, certainly it's Durabanan. Okay? So now, the Mishnah says, Shnei Achim Chershim, you have two brothers who are Chershim, assume the Shnei Achim Chershim. So everybody's a Cheresh. Or the married two women who are two sisters who are with full faculty. One is a cheresh, one's a pikachot. Or the reverse case, two sisters who are cheresh, they're married to two men who are or two brothers who have all their full faculty. Or two brothers who were cheresh. Or one is married to a cheresh, one to pikeach. Now, hare elu p'turim min achalitza u'min ayibam. So in a case like this, in other words, one of the brothers dies, and there's two sisters involved as well. So the sister who's facing yibam or chalitza, her sister, in other words, Reuben is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah. And Reuben dies, and now Shimon looks at the situation, and he sees Rachel needs yibam or chalitza. But Rachel, he's married to Leah on a Durbanan level. Rachel was married to his brother on a Durbanan level. So then it's like everything being equal, so that's like, it's Achot Ishto. In other words, I can't do Yibam or Chalitza with my wife's sister. So then she walks, okay? Now, he says, V'imayu nochriyot, if they were not related, instead of being two sisters or the two unrelated women, yichnosu, then he should do Yibam with them. Then if afterwards you want to do divorce them, you could. In other words, the key is, if one person's a cheresh or a chereshet, you can't do chalitza, because there's a speaking part in the chalitza. So that has to be said. That has to be said. That cannot be done with remiza. That can't be done with remiza. That needs to be said the way it says. Just a minute. You have to say the statement. So if you can't say the statement, you can't do chalitza. But if they're not sisters and they fall for Yibam or Chalitza, even though it's on a Drabanan level, he should do Yibam with her. And then, if he chooses, he could divorce her, because that you could do. What's up? Pick. Right? Right? No, so that's not what we're saying. We're saying that, again, We're saying that she's married on a Drabanan level. So she's Chayav Chalitza on a Drabanan level as well. Okay? Okay, now we've got to keep moving. Okay, now we're around 10 lines down in the medium wide lines on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Shnei Achim, two brothers, Echad Cheresh v'Echad Pikeach. One's a Cheresh, one's a Pikeach. One's deaf mute. I'm not going to keep translating it. Cheresh is deaf mute, Pikeach is full faculties. Echad Cheresh v'Echad Pikeach. They're married to two sisters who everybody, so there's only one Cheresh in this equation. Bal HaPikachat, Meit Cheresh Bal HaPikachat. Now the Cheresh, who was married to Pikachat, let's assume Reuven is the Cheresh. He dies. He's married to Rachel, who's Pikachat. Mayas HaPikach Bal HaPikachat. So Shimon is married on a Derisa level to Leah. Shimon's brother Reuven dies. Reuven was married on the Drabanan level to Rachel because he was a Cheresh. So what should Shimon do? Teitzei Mishum Achorisha. So Rachel walks because she's the sister of my wife. I'm married on Derisa level to Leah. Rachel is her sister. They're both Pichot. So she takes a walk. It means even if they would be married on Derisa level, she would take a walk. Mei Pikeach Bal HaPikachat. Now, let's say Shimon dies. This is Maya Secheresh Baal Pikachat. What should Reuven, who's a Cheresh, do? Motzi. So now, when Reuven looks at the situation, he's Chayev and Yibam or Chalitza on a Deraisa level, because his brother Shimon was fully married to Leah, and Shimon died. So now he's got that Deraisa Yibam or Chalitza, but he's married on a Drabanan level to Rachel, who's Leah's sister. Maya Secheresh Baal Pikachat. Motzi Ishto Beget. He should divorce his wife, Rachel, because Rachel is the sister of his Zakuka. He has a Zakuka on a Deraisa level, a Zik on a Deraisa level, Leah. So he should divorce Rachel. The Eishel Achiv Asur Lilam. And then the Yavama is prohibited forever, meaning he can't do Chalitza and he can't do Yibam with her. He can't do Yibam with her because she's Achot Ishto. She's his wife's sister, even though he's only married on a Drabanan level. And he can't do Yibam with her because the same reason, that she's also the sister's wife. So she, Leah, is caught between a rock and a hard place. She can never remarry again. Okay, now, Shnei Achim Pichim, if we have two brothers who are Pichim, who are full faculty, the Sum Shtei Achayot, married two sisters, Achav Chereshet, Achav Pikachat. One is a Chereshet, one's a Pikachat. Meit Pikeach Baal Chereshet. So now, the Pikeach, in this case, is going to be Reuven, and his wife Rachel is a Chereshet. Mayasa Pikeach Baal Pikachat. What should Shimon, who's married to a normal wife, do? So Shimon's brother passed away, and his brother was married to Rachel on a Drabanan level, but he's married to Leah on a Deraisa level. So Teisemi Shema Chorisha. So no problem. Rachel takes a walk. That's his wife's sister. He's married to Leah on a Deraisa level. So Rachel takes a walk. May Pikeach Baal Pikachat. Now let's say Shimon, who's the full faculty brother, married to Leah, full faculty. Mayasa Pikeach Baal HaChereshet. What should Reuven, who's also full faculty, do now in situation? Now Reuven is married to Rachel on a Drabanan level, but his brother, and now Yibam Chalitza on a Deraisa level, is coming my way. Motzi Et Ishto Beget. He has to divorce Rachel because she is the sister of his Zakuka. We had Eish L'Achiv B'Chalitza. And he has to do Chalitza with his brother's wife. He can do Chalitza with the brother's wife because the brother's wife is capable of talking. All right? Now, Shnei Afim, Echad Cheresh V'Echad Pikeach. If they have two brothers, one's a Pikeach, one's a Cheresh, one's a Pikeach. Nisun L'Shtei Achayot Echad Cheresh V'Echad Pikeachot. So here we have one brother's a Cheresh, and one of the sisters is a Cheresh. So the Cheresh is married to the Chereshet, the Pikeach is married to the Pikachat. Meit Cheresh Baal Chereshet. In this example, Reuven is married to Rachel, they're both Chereshim. Let's say Reuven dies, he was only married to Rachel on a Drabanan level. Mayasa Pikeach Baal Pikachat. So what should Shimon do? Teisei Mishum Achorisha, no problem. Shimon is married to Leah on a Deraisa level. Rachel is Leah's sister, so Rachel takes a walk. Meit Pikeach Baal Pikachat. Let's say Shimon, who's the full faculty brother, he dies. Mayasa Cheresh Baal Chereshet. What does Reuven the Cheresh do? Motzi Ishto Beget. He's forced to divorce his wife because his wife is the sister of the Zika, he says, and then his brother's wife is prohibited to the other because he can't do chalitza with her and he can't do yibam with her either. Okay, now, Shnei Achim, Echad Cheresh v'Echad Pikeach. You have two brothers, one's a Cheresh, one's a Pikeach. Now they're married to two unrelated women, who have full faculty. Made Cheresh, Baal Pikachat. If Reuben is the Cheresh and he's married to Rachel, who's the full faculty, so what should Shimon, who's married to Leah, they're all full faculty, what should he do? It says, so it's fine. Shimon, he has his full faculty. The widow, Reuben's widow, also has full faculty. So, and the two wives are not related to one another. So Shimon will do chalitza or yibam with her as he may choose. Now let's say Shimon, who's full faculty, he dies. But his brother's a cheresh. What should he do? So again, here the two wives are not sisters. Kones, in this case, Reuven should do yibum with Shimon's wife, but he can never divorce her because he can marry her, but he's not able to give a divorce on a derisa level because the divorce, we said before, was only on a derabanan level. He can't do that. So he can do yibum with her. He can never divorce her. Okay, now we're almost done with this Mishnah. Now we have two brothers who pichim have full faculty, married to two women who are not related to one another. One has full faculty, one not. If Reuven, who is married to the chereshet, dies, what should Shimon, who's a full faculty brother, do with Rachel, who's a chereshet? Kones, so he can marry her. He's fine, he can marry her. And if he wants to divorce her afterwards, he could. In other words, he can't do chalitza with her because she can't talk, but he could do yibam with her and then he could divorce her afterwards. Let's say Shimon dies and he was married to, he's full faculty, his wife is full faculty. What should Reuven, who's also Pikeach, do? No problem, he'll do chalitza or yibam because nobody's related to anybody. Now, Shnei Achim, Echad Cheresh v'Echad Pikeach. Let's say I have two brothers, one's a cheresh, one's a pikeach. They're married to two unrelated women. One's a cheresh, one's a pikeach. If the cheresh, in this case, Reuven will be the cheresh, married to Rachel, who's a cheresh. Reuven dies. What should Shimon, his full faculty brother, do? Kones, he could do yibum with Rachel, because I can do yibum with her. If he wants to divorce her later, he could do that. If Shimon, the full faculty brother, dies, what should Reuven the Cheresh do? Kones, he could do Yibam with her. He can't be Motzi her because he can't do Chalisa with her and he can't give her a get. In other words, his marriage to her is going to be on derisa level, but it's bootstrapped to the original marriage. Okay? Who's the question comes to us and who did? Well, first of all, there's a mitzvah yibum, and secondly, if you don't do yibum, she's caught betwixt and between. But there's a mitzvah yibum. That's the only alternative. But I think we would encourage him to do yibum because there's a mitzvah yibum. All right, let me do further in the Gemara, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, now, Ruth, please excuse me. If at the end I'll have 60 seconds, I'll try to get you in. It's running very late. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rami Bar Chama." Why is it? So here we have three people. Cheresh show to Bekatan. So, but the Cheresh, the Chamim were mitaking a rabbinic marriage. The Shota, there's no rabbinic marriage. And the Katan, there's also no rabbinic marriage. So he says, Maishna Cheresh v'Cheresh Tekinu L'Rabbanan Nisuin. Maishna the Shota v'Shota means whether the man's insane or the woman's insane. Delo Tekinu L'Rabbanan Nisuin. The Chamim didn't establish rabbinic marriage for them. The Tanya, Shota v'katan shnasuna shem umetu. The Brisa says if a shota, an insane man, or a katan married, in quotation marks, a married woman, and then they died, the shotem p'turim ben ha'chalisim ben ha'yibam. Their wives are p'turim ha'yibam ha'chalisim, means there is no marriage that's recognized. So the Gemara says, cheresh v'chereshet t'kayim etzakan t'rabanan. But the cheresh v'chereshet, so it could be the marriage would continue on peacefully. Either cheresh married to the chereshet, or one of the partners is full faculty, but it could be it would peaceably work. He says, "Takinu l'hurabanan nisuin." The Chamim established nisuin. He says, "Shota v'shota lo kaima takanta rabanan." the shota and the shota, even if they're married to a full faculty person, wouldn't last, and certainly married to each other wouldn't last. The ein adam dar nachash b'kripa achad. Merson doesn't live with a snake in the same basket. It means to be with a shota is like impossible. Lo tekinu rabbanan nisuin. The Talmud didn't establish nisuin. U'mayshal katan lo tekinu rabbanan nisuin. Why is it by a katan when the boy is below the age of bar mitzvah, Talmud did not establish nisuin for him? The cheresh tekinu li rabbanan. But for a cheresh, they did establish the nisuin. So the tekinu li rabbanan nisuin. Cheresh lo ati l'chal nisuin tekinu rabbanan nisuin. A cheresh was never going to be in the parsha of nisuin, so the chamim established we're going to do nisuin for you. He says katan to ati l'chal nisuin. A katan will eventually get to be to a situation nisuin. So lo tekinu rabbanan nisuin. This is wait till you get older and then we'll do it then. So the gemara says v'rei katana to ati l'chal nisuin v'tekinu rabbanan nisuin. But by a katana, remember we learned that if the father is dead, the chamim established nisuin. The brothers or the mother can marry her off on a rabbanan level. It's a katana, a girl below the age of 12. So he says, even though she will eventually become an adult, hatam shlin haguma minag hefker. So the reason they established that they were worried about the status of the girl, that people shouldn't, you know, sexually molest her. So they established marriage for her. Umayshna katana de ma'ana. Why is it that they established miyun? It was if a katana marries on a drabanan level, she could do miyun. She could say, I'm out of here. Umayshna chereshet lo ma'ana. But a chereshet who marries also on a drabanan level, there's no out for her with miyun. The imkain, top line, mimani v'lo naskiva. Nobody's going to want to marry a chereshet. If I know at any point in time that chereshet could pull out of it, I'm not going to want to marry her. But with a katana, the guy thinks, look, if I just wait, let's say a year or two, and then she's an adult, I'll act very nicely now for the next 2 years, and then she'll be my wife. But with a chereshet, nobody wants to be stuck in a situation. We've got to keep going on. And any moment she can say, I'm out of here, and then that's it. Okay, Ruth, you've been very patient. What's your question, Ruth? Ruth, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Yes. Here, yes.
Okay, what's up? Question, go.
You have to explain why. Sometimes it's on the level of the Rabbanan and sometimes it's derisive.
Okay. So just a minute. So if a full faculty man marries a full faculty woman, it's derisa. It's from the Torah. If one of the partners is a cheresh, a deaf mute, it's only drabanan. Because Chazal say that a cheresh doesn't have full faculty and is not able to enter into kiddushin on a deraisa level.
I understand.
Okay. All right. Let me end the recording and then I will talk 1 second.